Here we go, Russ. This is part two. Last week, we got to spend some time with Brad and Corey from C3. Basically, they're just like you and me. They're fans.
Yes, they are. Yeah. Love talking to them. we talk to them so much. Yeah, that we're splitting it up into two parts. So today you get part two of that conversation.
Yeah, part two. I didn't know where our conversation was going to go. I knew we were going to talk about some changes because that's what those guys do. I mean, Brad is the director, festival director, and Corey is the marketing director. So, you know, you can't get any closer to the source than those guys, right?
No, you can't. And I felt like we could have talked to them all day long.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because they're just fans. And that's what I thought last episode was so great because, I mean, they started as fans and then got jobs, basically. And now they run the thing. So
they do, but they're still fans.
Pretty cool. And they're still fans, exactly. Yeah. Part two, we get a little more in-depth about some of the changes. They were on our show last year to talk about some of the camping and ticket buying changes, the a la carte, as we're calling it. And in this episode now, they talk a little bit more how that went and what they're doing different this year. And essentially, if I remember right, it's just more fine tuning, right? They felt like last year worked. And so there's some things to fine tune, you know, more water stations in some areas and jam track, you know, some changes to stuff like that.
Right. The first year after you make big changes like that, you know, there's always going to be hurdles, especially with communication, just letting people know things are different. But for the most part, it sounds like everyone, you know, was happy with the changes and it went well. So they're, you know, they're keeping a lot of that and just fine tuning it, like you said.
Yeah, not to give too much away because really want you to listen to it, but we hear again some of the things that stood out for this conversation from this conversation for me and you was that more than 50% of people who attend Bonnaroo are first timers, which blows our minds because we, you know, everyone we talk to has been forever and loves it and will always go, but that's an important point because it's a different, you know, mindset, right? When you walk in there as a first timer, that place is huge and it's overwhelming.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Just navigating it can be overwhelming and knowing what to bring and all that. So, and that's where, you know, listening to a show like this and getting some pointers, hopefully, like bring shade, bring water.
Yeah, I think eventually this year we'll do an episode like that. Do's and don'ts, what to bring, checklists and all that. I think that'll always be helpful.
For sure. And the other thing that I came away from with this part of the conversation is the idea, because we've talked about it over and over, how much programming they do out in the plazas and how you could literally spend all 5 days, 4 days, whatever, just out there and have a great time.
Yeah. But
to hear Brad talk about it, you know, they know that, but they're also having to sort of step back and think, you know, we paid a lot of money for Post Malone or the Red Hot Chili Peppers or whoever. And so, you know, why are we programming against ourselves?
Yeah.
Basically. That's an interesting new dilemma, right?
It is. Yeah. Well, you've almost got too much happening. And like they said, they know that, you know, 20 to 30% of the people at any given time are out in the campground. So they want to have something. They know not everyone's in Centaru all the time, but yeah, you don't want to spread yourself too thin or make people, you know, decide if they have to go in or stay out.
When they spend all that money. It's a reality. Yeah, makes sense. Anyway, it was a great conversation and can't thank those guys enough. And I look forward to seeing them on the farm as well and probably checking in with them again later as we get closer. And maybe we can get Brian and Steven on again. Those are the guys from C3 who actually booked the lineup.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to.
They've been guests before, and that's always – everybody loves talking about the lineup, and we'll see if we can't make that work. But All right, here you go. Part two of Brad and Corey from C3 Presents.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, all right. So let's get into. So a year ago or so, you were kind enough to join us to talk about the changes, and I'm going to try to bring everybody back up to speed. At that time, we were sort of calling it a la carte, sort of ticket buying. Are you still comfortable with that sort of description, or is there a better way to? Okay. So for people again catching up, that was you decided to break up how you bought your tickets. You could buy a general admission ticket to get into Cineru, which would allow you to see all the main shows and do most of the things, but you could also upgrade your camping experience, right? If you wanted an air-conditioned tent or yurt, you could upgrade and get that. What are some of the other major things? I mean, it would really, you could tailor your own experience the way you wanted to do it, right?
You could buy whatever Cineru ticket you want and pair that with whatever kind of camping you want. There's no kind of packages that you had to sort through. Just you want this in Cineru, you want this in Outeru. It went great. We ended up selling basically every single elevated camping option that was available last year. And then, you know, we're sort of tasked with finding a way to grow that program this year. I think a lot of that makes it easier for people to travel by plane, or, you know, carpool from longer distances without having to bring a ton of gear. And I think just like, you know, if you're maybe in your 40s or something and want to go see the show, and like me, I'm not gonna, you know, crash on somebody's floor anymore. Like, I'm going to need a bed. I'm going to need some air conditioning at night. I'm going to need to get a good night's sleep or I'm going to be in rough shape. And so I think it's kind of helped people be able to plug into that and make the experience, the camping experience, a little more, comfortable. And then, you know, if you just want to go into Cineru and just experience it from the crowd in the back, wherever, sit under a tree, listen to some tunes, like, you can still do it that way. And then we had a lot of people that they don't really care about where they camp. They just want somewhere to sleep. They just want to get close, you know? They just want to get close, or they want to have somewhere in Cineru where they can go kick back, because they're planning on being in there for 18 hours and seeing 35 bands in a day. So it's just really let fans sort of like completely customize their experience based on how they interact with the festival. And it's honestly just really silly that we didn't do it earlier, in my opinion.
Well, I was going to ask that. Was it a scary thing? Cause it was a pretty big break, not just for you guys, but for the industry. I mean, I'm assuming there's probably some others that were toying with similar. I know, like, you know, Disney, you can kind of tailor things around, but for festivals, it was a pretty big break, right? And I know, and I want to ask you about what the reaction was. Some people see those numbers, the dollars signs, and we talked about this on the show. I think some people forget people have money. Some people don't mind spending a little bit more for air conditioning or a nice bed, right? And they can afford it. So it's not like everybody's trying to think of how they can get by on the cheapest. They want comfort, right? And how much did that play into the decision? And that's probably three or four questions thrown at you all at once, but I'll let you answer.
I think the key came down to being able to let people prioritize how they want to experience the festival in the most cost-effective way. So if you can afford to have the AC and you can afford to, you know, buy a platinum ticket and have a lounge inside Center Roo with free food and viewing at the stage and golf cart rides and all of that, right? Then that's great. But let's say, you know, you want to have the nicest camping possible, but you also don't care about, you want to be in the back of the GA viewing at the stages, then now you have the option to do that. Where before we made you go all in or not, or be out.
Like right.
We made you make that choice, but now we let you pick how you want to experience it. If your priority is comfortable sleeping at night and you want to be sweaty in the middle of a GA pit for at the main stage, then you can do that. If you want to be in VIP viewing at the main stage and you don't care to sleep in a sweaty tent at, you know, out in the campgrounds, you can also do that. Whereas before, we made you go all in.
Right.
If you want the nice camping, you're going to have to pay the price to also have the good viewing and, you know, vice versa. So I think that was the key, is just literally creating as many options for fans to have as possible, so that the financial barrier of entry might be able to, although some of the things on the higher end might have increased a little, the overall barrier of entry from a financial standpoint actually lower. So I consider it a big success. It was definitely scary, mostly scary for me. I don't know Corey's thoughts, but my concern was just the education piece. It was a lot to like communicate and get people to understand. It wasn't that I thought that I ever thought people would be against the idea. I just thought it was going to be really tough to really explain to them what we're doing and why we're doing.
Yeah, it was new.
Yeah.
But
it was all new.
But Corey and the marketing team, though, I mean, they're the best in the biz, and they knocked it out of the park with that piece.
Well, I think at the end of the day, too, it allowed us to create that map interface on the website now that works better than anything we've ever had. Like, the only way we've had to present this information in the past is just like a list. You just go on there and it's a long list with a bunch of things that are named that you don't understand, and you literally have to go through and read each one of them to see exactly what you're getting. And there's all these contingencies about which kind of ticket you have to be able to do this, etc. And if you go on other camping festivals websites, you'll find the same thing. It's like really confusing to see like exactly what you need to like bring your car to this place and go see music. And I think last year it was a really exhausting, like heavy lift process to, you know, change something that's been working a certain way for 20 years. But I'm really, really glad we did it. And we haven't really got any negative feedback. Really, we haven't got anything except positive feedback from fans. I know there's some people that, you know, are really content with how the old VIP system functioned. They liked having that campground over there and stuff. And
that'd be us. We're still mad. That's a bummer. 931. You know,
I hate that people lost that. But you know, I do think as you evolve and change, there are compromises that have to be made, and there just wasn't any other way around it. You either have to stay coupled or decouple. And
what was the your biggest positive surprise, and what were the biggest sort of complaints or negatives or challenges or whatever that you heard about that?
I think a lot of people didn't realize how noisy it was going to be over next to Where in the Woods.
So the
kind of like first couple rows of some of those up close camping maybe were a little louder than folks expected. So I think a little more messaging about bring your earplugs probably be good on our part. You might see me out there Thursday passing something out, maybe.
Well, we were next to what? Calliope for a couple of years.
Yeah, I was back there too. That was wild.
Oh, yeah.
Those Sunday mornings, time to get up or don't go to sleep.
That was pretty relentless. Yep.
Yeah, but that's all right.
But yeah, everything else was positive. I can't think of a whole lot. Actually, like last year, you know, we do a bunch of surveying, and whether it's feedback on what people want from the lineup next year, or you know, what facilities, you know, like we got some information last year about maybe, you know, there weren't enough restrooms in this part of the campgrounds or not, and we'll be able to address that this year, stuff like that. But overall, the scores that we got coming out of Bonnery last year were much higher than what we used to. Some of the best scores we've ever had when you looked at the consensus of everybody that filled out those surveys. So it just told us that, you know, what we're doing is right. We're headed in the right direction. All these upgrades to the farm are getting noticed and making people's experience there easier, more comfortable. And it's making it easier for people to come back year after year. So we're proud of that. I'm super proud of the production team and Brad and, you know, Shelby and everybody out there who are working tirelessly to make that happen and ultimately make my job easier. It was really, really positive coming out of last year.
I'm going to come back to some of that, but it just occurred to me, how did the early entry work? Because that's a huge change. And I know why. You guys, for people, first-time listeners, the entry traffic has been an issue since the very, very first one, when traffic lined up for miles and miles and miles on I-24. And so you've always been trying to figure out a way to get people in quicker, you know, off the street, so to speak, and into their campsite. And so you went to you could get in Thursday midnight, and then it was Wednesday during the day. And then this year you ask people to pick a day, whether Tuesday or Wednesday. So kind of an early, which for people, and again, we love the logistics. That means you guys have to deal with thousands of people on Tuesday and Wednesday when music doesn't even start till Thursday. So you've got bathroom, you've got food, you've got volunteers, you've got staffing. How did that go for you guys?
I mean, listen, what we do in Manchester from an operational and traffic perspective is nothing short of miraculous. I think that people really, really don't understand. I mean, like, think about this. Think anyone out there listening that grew up in a small hometown. Think about if we parked the Super Bowl close to your local Walmart. We've got 30,000 cars that come into the festival in a matter of about 48 to 72 hours. 30,000 cars. That's more than an NFL game, right? And if you've been to Bonnaroo, you know we don't have mega highways flowing in.
No.
Right? We've got two-lane roads.
Yeah.
So
a couple in and a couple out.
Yeah. So Blake Harris and Jim Tobin and all the guys that put together and work with Tennessee Highway Patrol and the local police and the Sheriff's Department and all of these agencies, I mean, they have the hardest job. It is a Herculean task that they do to make this thing run smooth. And when you look at what the early entry has done for us, we talked about this, I think, before. You know, our map from this past year, the data that we had, showed that nobody in line at any point, even at the busiest point of loading the festival, waited more than probably about 2.5 to 3 hours to get in. That number pre-pandemic was 14.
Waited eight my first year, 8 hours.
Oh, we've heard 17, 18. yeah, absolutely.
We were there. We were having a good
time. If you want to talk about the real headliners at Bonnaroo, we need to put the traffic team up there on top, probably. they are serving the people the most.
But again, just logistics, which is again what we love. Once even they're in, that means you got to deal with them. So it puts another level of burden on you guys. I think I can say this now, but Ashley Capps, the aforementioned, we talked to him about this 10 years ago, and he said, I think that Wednesday early thing is the worst, and don't talk about it, but he said, I think we're going to have to go even earlier. And it was because of that extra burden of staffing and all that you guys were going to have to deal with. But it sounds like it deals with the traffic issue. So, you know, one problem fixes another and creates another kind of thing.
Well, and some shows will actually charge you more to show up early. And I think that's something that we've looked at a little bit differently. We're like, I don't really get that mentality. Like, sure, it costs us, you know, more to host people. And, you know, people do want to be there earlier. But at the end
more
of the
taco.
Day, it does.
Taco would
us.
Leave. Taco yeah, would leave yeah. today if you would let him.
I'm already there.
it does help us keep the wait times down. So it's like, charge the same, let people stay an extra day or two, have a good time, enjoy the farm for longer. It's a win-win, you know. That's kind of, I feel like that's the lottery spirit.
How much?
Yeah, baby. Some shows, we won't mention any by name. Some shows want to make you pay more to show up early, but we want to give you a little bit of a break to show up early.
Yeah. Well, that's, I've always said that about Bonnaroo's. I don't feel like you guys have your hand in my wallet, and that's important to me. You know, you don't have your hand in my pocket. How much, and I just lost my train of thought. How much you mentioned, Corey, I think it was, who, you know, you do the surveys and everybody's going to say, yeah, we listen to them. But how much does that, well, let me put it this way. The other thing that I've always appreciated about you guys is it always is sort of felt like always, if somebody has a good idea, you're willing to listen.
Yeah.
Our friend, Ian Bonnaroo, David Bruce, you know, the photographer, I don't know who on your team, you know, heard about him or whatever. Was it you? That's awesome. You know, and said, this guy's doing great things. Daniel and Charlotte with the Real Rubust, you know, you guys seem to find out about people that have good ideas, the beer exchange. Yep. And, you know, you don't try to squash it. You're like, how can we embrace this? How can we help you? We don't want the liability. We don't want to do it. You know, we don't need anybody else, but you want to help work with it. So how do those meet? How do those things happen in your meetings?
We just hit people up, man. It's, you know, it's y'all's home when you're there. If we hear about something cool that happened the previous year, we just actively try to find whoever was doing it and get in touch with them and be like, hey, what do you need? You know? And that's been really successful. And helps really just strengthen that community, I think.
Listen, when you go to a new city for the first time, you don't go to the McDonald's and ask the guy where you should eat at, right?
Right.
Like this festival's built on the fan. And as much as I appreciate you all giving us a pat for reaching out and getting people like Bruce and others involved, like it also takes a lot off of my inquiry.
Well, that's what I've always said. It's free programming. It's free programming for you guys. So it's, you know, let's be honest about it. But,
and it's organic.
Right.
It's 100% organic, right? Which is what Bonnaroo is all about.
Yeah. That's what we've always enjoyed.
Yeah. It's the music and arts festival, and it really helps strengthen that and arts part of it. You know, not everything is lineup and headline related.
Yeah.
Very true.
Absolutely.
Rush, you mentioned David's list. Are there any questions? I'm not seeing them on my screen, but maybe you're getting. Anybody making comments that we
do have a few comments and questions. We had a lot of people to say that they appreciated the lower entry times, getting in a lot quicker, especially RVs. As far as questions go, we've got a couple about the screens over on the this and that tents.
That's a good one.
They were seemed to be missing this past year.
Bradley, where are you at on it, brother?
here's what I will make. Here's what I will say to that, and then we'll move on to the next question. Trust us. We hear you loud and clear. We hear you loud and clear from last year, and we are already working on it.
Right.
So
heard chef. All right.
Good to hear. Yeah.
What is there another one, Russ?
Let's see, video screens, and then any time frame on We're in the Woods announcements and anything else to add to the lineup.
Yeah, I would look for that probably late Feb, early March. And don't hold me to those dates because that is not booked yet. But I will also say, drop a little, you know, inside info here that we saw what people were asking for on Reddit and Instagram yesterday when it comes to the EDM lineup. And we're definitely putting some priority into the bass side of things as we're wrapping up that We're in the Woods lineup. So, you know, no promises because it always depends on availability and who's willing to do it and everything. But we definitely saw that in the feedback and we're working on it. So,
All right.
And then I'm curious too. This, the Mars Volta, they jumped out at me.
Yeah.
Do we know if that's going to be like a late night set?
I don't know what time
the
that
schedule
is.
The schedule is still being put together. This is a little bit of insider baseball, but you all may or may not know this. But you know, when we first reach out to book an artist, the option is that we're saying, hey, can you play Friday or Saturday? And then sometime before the lineup, we finally get the day nailed down. And then it takes us a little bit more time to get the actual slot nailed down. So the schedule, 100 plus acts, it takes a lot of pieces on the board to be shuffled around. So I don't really know where that one's going to land, but it's going to be a good time regardless.
That's in my top five. Agreed. For sure. Agreed.
Well, and we've talked to Brian and Steven about those conflicts, you know, so that gets into that as well. So they try very hard, but as they've told us, you know, they might think band A and band D don't conflict, but, you know, the four of us might be, how can you put those two on the, yeah, so things like that happen.
We a dang, like, panel of people to figure that out, probably.
You'd never get it right.
Yeah, that's impossible. Yeah.
How can you put Korn and John Batiste at the same time? Don't you know that Korn and John Batiste fans have a very
those are my two
overlap?
Favorites of all time. Yeah. What are you thinking? How much change is there? Okay, so we had the change last year with the a la carte. How much has it changed this year? Do you guys feel
you
like,
mean as far as big, are you talking about things that are going to be changing on site or just big
that whole
picture?
Camp, yeah, big picture. Does it feel 2022 to 23 felt like a big change with the a la carte? How big is that change feel this year from last year?
I mean, Corey, you add on to this, but you know, I think it worked what we did last year. I think we're going to try and maintain that and settle in and continue to find little things to tweak here and there. The biggest change, which you've probably seen some comments on socials about for this year, is that we came back off of doing the daily tickets. So you're not able to buy a daily ticket anymore. You can still buy daily parking where you don't have to camp, but you have to buy a 4-day ticket. You can't buy a 1-day ticket. The reasoning behind that is we really had an inflection point last year coming into this year where, you know, we feel like we've come out of the turbulent time. The ship is back in the right direction. And we really felt like we needed to focus on what this festival was built to be, which is a 4-day camping festival. And part of that commitment to being a 4-day camping festival is, as much as it might exclude some people from the experience, that we got to focus on that being what the option is. If you want to come to Bonnaroo, we want you to experience as intended, which is as a 4-day camping show. So that was kind of the decision process behind that decision.
That was another one of my questions. Thank you.
How about Jam Track? That was another one of my notes. I know that was kind of that was on some people's, because it was a one-way route. And some people, if you got in, like, say, gate one, you had to go all the way around to 12 or whatever. So it was, an hour or more.
Jam Track is going to stay. We're tweaking how the route works. You know, we're actually doing some research on how subway systems in larger metro areas, the thought process behind how those run. As funny as that sounds, I mean,
that's exactly what we mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah. The system is in place, but we're definitely going to look at tweaking the routes and where it goes and when it goes there and see if we can fine tune that a little. But the program as a whole is not going anywhere.
All right, trying to think.
I enjoyed it. I liked riding it last
trying
year.
To think of anything else. The only other note I have, and it kind of goes back to the very first conversation we had today, is driving home to do this. It's it cannot be overstated, I don't think, how much this festival changes lives. The four of us, for sure. Yvonne that we talked to, David Bruce that I talked to. I mean, there are people who have careers, you know, because of this festival, but also attitudes. And I'm in that camp. You know, I remember leaving after the second year thinking, why can't people be this way all the time? And then have sort of tried to dedicate myself to it, from little things like just picking up a piece of trash, or walking that extra 10 feet to throw something away, to saying hello to somebody, or to letting somebody get in front of you in line if they had to go leave or something like that. So, and it kind of goes back to what I was asking you, Brad. I mean, there are tons of music festivals, but they don't all have this thing, do they?
No, they don't. I was trying to find it. You all may have saw it. I posted this on my personal Instagram yesterday. There was a Reddit post that went up, I don't know, maybe an hour before the lineup yesterday. That there's been posts like this in the past, but this one was, it kind of got me. There's a post yesterday called that just says buy the ticket. And it's about this guy who lost his father last year. And basically he kind of talks through how like Bonnaroo was that place for him, that he was like in a really dark place. And he just had to make it to June. Like he just had to get there and he knew things were going to be fine. And it just, if you go read the comments on that post, it's all these other people saying, man, I was in the same place. I'm so glad you're here. You're going to be fine. I love you. I see you on the farm. And when I go and read posts like that, man, it gets my engine going so much. Like
I saw that's exact what I'm post. Here for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I'm here for. So, that's a very, I hope it's not lost on people that is a very special thing that is not typical of something that a festival brand has as part of its identity is that community and what it represents for people. That's so much more than just a music festival. So it's really special. And Corey and I think both share the sentiment that we're extremely honored to be able to work on it. And for somebody, I don't know who they are, they probably don't have their job anymore, to trust us with steering the ship every once in a while.
It's very cool. I didn't ask you both. I kind of drove the jam track, so to speak. Is there something I didn't ask you guys about that, some detail, some new thing, something?
If you want to go, make sure you get your tickets. You know, I definitely expect us to sell out again this year. And based on the way things are going, you know, maybe earlier than last year even. So just want to make sure that everybody who wants to go gets to go. And then I just want to say thank you, to you guys and just to the community. You know, it's really fun reading the comments and, you know, seeing people defend, you know, this idea of Bonnaroo and, you know, this festival and place that they love, and actively encouraging others to go. And, you know, Brad was talking about how, like, you know, our audience spans from people who went in 2003 to people who went in 2023. And that's a pretty big gap. So I think it's important, you know, for those who have been before and, you know, really understand the traditions and history, to pass it along, make friends with someone who's going for the first or second time and who doesn't know the ropes, you know, help people out, give someone some tips along the way, teach them some of the traditions, and just try to, you know, keep it going as long as we can. It's a really special place, and it's a really, really interesting, unique thing. Just wanted to throw out a nice thank you to everybody who's participated in that over the last 20 years and loves this thing as much as we do. Because it is really special. Yeah,
along those lines, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Daniel and Charlotte again with the Real Boot Rubus and the Totem program that they have started that I know you guys are involved with as well as I am, to help do what exactly you just said, to help groom the next generation and to pass on this information and help ease people in. I know the ultimate goal is to make it international.
I think my parting shot is also thank you, but I also had put some thought into picking four performances out this year that I think I want to put on everybody's radar. So I got one from each day. I'm just going to go by day here.
I want to do this too. For the also, rock
fans, yeah. So Thursday for the rock fans, I'm going to say you got to check out Michigander. Great guy, actually lives in Nashville, from Michigan, obviously.
Yeah.
So that's my Thursday pick. My Friday pick, I got a shout out TV Girl. They've been getting a lot of heat right now. That's going to be a really great show. Saturday, before you get ready for the Red Hot Chili Peppers, you got to go see Ethel Kane. Really, transformative performance, I think, that you'll see if you go check that out. And then on Sunday, outside of being extremely ready for Fred again, early on that day, I'm assuming he's probably going to open one of the tents. Don't know the schedule yet, but Jake Wesley Rogers, you're going to want to check him out. I'd honestly say he's got a little bit of a – he does it all. Piano, everything. He's really inspired by people like Elton John, if that helps give you a little bit of direction on what he's inspired by and what he might sound like. So those are my four shout outs at the moment for sets over the weekend that you don't want to miss.
Awesome. Corey?
Good. Yeah.
Sorry, Russ.
I was just going to say those are good. Those were not on my radar at all. So I made notes. Thank you.
Yeah. All that said about how we've changed a lot since 2003, I am kind of the resident jam head. I've got two framed Ophrys McGee posters over there on the wall for anyone interested. So I will say Thursday, go to Eggy. That's going to be probably the headiest jams on the farm this year. If not J-Rad. So make sure you go to that one if you're wanting some jam. Friday, I'm with you, Russ, Mars Volta for sure. They're one of my favorites, just some intense prog experimental. But then also, I'm super psyched for Thundercat. I've never seen him. And then Saturday, I was going to say Ethel Kane too, actually. She's like my new obsession. So good. So spooky vibes. But also Parcels. I think that's going to end up being one of the shows of the weekend. And then Sunday, I was going to say Fred. I saw like 10 minutes of his show at Lala. And I was in a terrible spot. I could barely see, could barely hear, and I still got sucked in. So I'm super excited to see that at Bonnaroo because it's going to be such a special, unique show. But also Charles Wesley Godwin. Saw him at Railbird this past year, and it was high energy, intense country music, and it was awesome. Well, I'm psyched about it. So, yeah.
Nice. All right, Russ, do the same. One each night.
Yeah.
Let's go, day by day. Let's see. I'm going to go Gore on Thursday.
Yeah.
It was probably my pick, yeah. It's Friday. Probably either Karungman is definitely on my list or J-Rad. Crazy Elephant for Saturday. And let's see. Of course, back the Mars Volta, like you mentioned, went back the other day. Where Jason Isbell is on my list for Friday or Sunday. Who else we got? And John Baptiste, of course.
Yeah.
Like we mentioned before.
Yeah. Ours is very.
You're going to see John Baptiste and Gwar on the same.
Exactly. Yeah. Ours is very similar. I'm going to go Gwar on Thursday, Krungbin Friday. I'm going to do a walk by Maggie Rogers just because my daughter is such a huge fan. Maggie's one of the few that Grace will travel to go see and has done it a couple of times. So I'm going to
see.
She's
got some deep Bonnaroo ties too. If you go on her Instagram, she posted a really cool post yesterday.
I saw,
talking about some of her memories. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, she did a live. Yeah, that little voiceover type thing. Mm-hmm. Cool. John Baptiste. Where else am I going to see him? Like you just said, Jason, I've seen Fred again. I have not. Kind of looking forward to the Megan Thee Stallion kind of thing.
Yeah, ooh, there you go. Yeah, let's go.
I love it. That's so fun for people again who don't understand. And it's kind of we're preaching to the converted here, I assume, if they're listening. But where else do you get to see that kind of variety all in one place, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all right. Guys, man, we love it so much when you guys join us. We love seeing you at all the festivals. Good to see you, Brad, at Boone River as always. And
yes,
and hanging out with you guys. And thank you for giving us so much time. I don't think I asked anything you couldn't answer, right? I don't think so.
They were softballs. I appreciate
we'll
that.
Get the bank account numbers later. And
yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. Have a great whatever, and we'll see you in, 5.5 months? All right. That's a lot of fun.
It was. Love that.
Yeah. Those guys are great. It's kind of, they answer anything we ask. They're happy to do it. They love it. You can tell. You can just tell they love it as much as we do, right? It's not like they're, hey guys, whatever, hope you buy a ticket. I mean, they love it.
They do, yeah. And like I said, I feel like we could have spent all day talking with them and they would have had a great time too, just because they like talking about it.
Yeah, yeah, they're fans. It makes a big, big difference.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, there you go. Season 7, right?
Season 7, it's underway. Unbelievable.
We are deep into it.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up, we're going to have we're planning our shows. We're going to have musical guests. We're going to have artists. We're going to have more fans. In fact, I think next episode, we're going to have a friend of mine who's gone since 2018, works as a photographer, but she's a fan. It's just that kind of, that's what we want to do, right?
Yeah, I like that we have a good mix of not only artists, but also people that work the festival, that put it on, that just attend as fans. You know, you get the whole rounded, gamut of people that go. Yeah,
absolutely. All right. Well, that's it. We will see you guys next week. Thank you. Thanks to Consequence. Like, share, and review, and do all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Helps us out very much. And Russ, I love you.
Love you too.
All right.
See you next week.
See you guys.
Consequence Podcast Network.